Okay. And believe it or not, this one comes under the thing of love and affection too, but it's going to sound strange, but I hope it doesn't. Setting clear, loving standards and giving clear, loving guidance. I don't know how many times I've heard young people say to me in the last 7 or 8 years, I wish my parents would give me some direction. I want to say thousands of times. I know it's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I've heard that, heard that, heard that. I wish my parents would give me some guidance. I wish they would help me make this decision. I mean, I've heard it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And so I just want to stand in front of you and say, wake up. Wake up. It's okay to give clear, loving guidance. Now, we're not talking about being a dictator here. Hear my heart. But you can do it. And they need it. And actually, they want it. Now, some of that giving the guidance may be a discussion. You may open the Word of God together and look at music. Music is seems like it's always quite a big issue with young people. And they're saying, well, what about this Hillel tape, Dad? What do you think? And all that. And, you know, if you're the typical man, you just say, well, you know, go listen to what Brother Denny says about that. No. Come on. Come on. Put the thing in. Open the Word of God. Have a conversation and say, you know, I'm not clear about that. Let's just set this aside. I think there's other music that's more beneficial for our family right now. Can we do that? Yes. Amen. Okay, let's do that. You know, you see what I'm saying? Come on. We need to wake up, men. You can set clear, loving standards for their good, for them, not at them. You're not just making rules to make rules. And again, I know sometimes as you whatever, set standards or have guidance or maybe even have rules in your home. Sometimes your young people, just like you and I do, they're going to make mistakes, right? They're going to fail. There's going to be an infraction of something you've even agreed to or something you've told them. And the key there is, how do you handle that? You know, do you jump on them around the kitchen table in front of everyone? You know, do you embarrass them? You know, there needs to be a respect of themselves as a person as they're getting older and walking with Christ, even if they make mistakes, that you love them enough to take them aside carefully and deal with them in a loving way and give them a rebuke. But you know, there's a godly way to give a rebuke. You know, it's in the Bible. There's godly ways to do those things. And they deserve for it to be done in that way. I wonder sometimes, half the time, if one of the reasons we don't have so much trouble in the churches why people have such a struggle taking rebuke is they never learned how in their own homes. You know? And that's, again, shame on us for not doing it the right way. But, yes, they're going to make mistakes, but that's an opportunity to teach. That's an opportunity to go through something together. Confrontations are not bad. You know, we have the wrong idea. You know, a confrontation is not a bad thing. It can be a very good thing. You can both learn a lot about where you're really at. If you handle it the right way, with grace in your heart, and your goal is to be pleasing to the Lord and to be biblical and loving, a confrontation is not a bad thing. Okay, this one, number 9, kind of goes along a little bit. I'm not sure how to word all this, but this goes along on how we deal with our young people sometimes if we're not clear on the direction they're going, if we're not in agreement with maybe some of the things that are happening in their life. I ask you this question. How do you give guidance or how do you shape the will without wounding the spirit? You know, that's a good question to ponder in your heart sometimes. You know, the spirit of the will of a young person, I've learned, those things are strong. They're like steel. But you know, I've learned with most young people, their spirits are about as delicate as a rose petal. You know? All it takes is a father to say something like, you always treat the other children that way in one moment and smash. I mean, it will take you a month to recover from that. First of all, you're lying. They don't always do that. You know, these big fathers are famous for these big, broad, sweeping statements. You ever notice that sometimes? When you get a little upset, all these come out. First of all, you're wrong. They don't always do that. You know? And see, you're not dealing with the issue. You're not dealing with their will. You're wounding their spirit. You're going after them personally. You can't do that. You know, they're not the enemy. You're not after them. You're trying to get them and the family to go somewhere with Christ, right? You know, we get our vision off here. We get our focus in the wrong thing. And so you need to ponder that question, how you can learn to deal with the will of someone, with the issue, without wounding the spirit. Without wounding the spirit. We must be very careful with our words here. We must remember what love is. With youth, with young people, a few years ago I was pondering this thing on how to love my young people better, and I came up with a little definition. I'll just give it to you. And I've learned that with young people, love is found in a consistent display of interest, commitment, sacrifice, and attention. I've learned that love is found in a consistent display of interest, commitment, sacrifice, and attention. And what I had to reckon with in my own heart, and what I'm asking you to let God reckon with here today, is the fact that it's up to you to begin the relationship in the right way. You're the adult. You must take the first step, okay? You're the one that's supposed to be leading out, so therefore you need to take that step closer to them. And I know, maybe you're scared. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes. I don't know. But you're still the adult. You're still the father. It's up to you to take that step. You're the one that's accountable. You need to make the first move. I've learned that with fathers, we're too often, we use the excuse something like this. Well, I'm very busy. But let me reinterpret that into what you're really saying. I'm selfish. Okay? And maybe I'm stepping on your toes, and maybe I need to, but you know what I'm saying? The problem with too many men is we're selfish. Because it does take time to be consistent. It does take time and effort to pay attention, to have an interest in someone else. But I tell you, the rewards, you wouldn't trade it for a billion times a billion dollars if you could taste and see the other side of it. I know that's the way it would be. So by the grace of God, I would just ask you to consider today in your relationship with your young people, are you just sitting in the easy chair? Are you being selfish, just thinking, well, they're 18, I'm done. They're pretty good. And just kind of letting it coast on out these last few years. It's not right. It's not right. So that's my 10th point, actually, is to lay down this selfishness, to get over this fear of humbling yourself and opening yourself up. You know, you may have to expose yourself a little bit and allow the light of God to come in and show a few things in your own life, but it's worth it. You know, if you can just humble yourself and allow God to show you who you are and then just share that with the family and start over again, I think you'd be surprised at how forgiving they would be and how much grace would be in their heart. You know, when you humble yourself like that, there's something about that, is there? It's hard to resist somebody that's really humble. You know, if you're genuinely humble and sorry, there's something about that. You know, God says in James there that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. But it works with people too. Have you ever noticed that? If someone reproaches you and they're really humble, it's almost like you can't help yourself. You just want to give them grace, give them time, you know? Well, your family can do that for you too, if you're humble, if you can open yourself up and be who you really are. Number 11, one of the points I made there in that definition of love was the word commitment. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Commitment. What is your commitment to this relationship we're talking about? What is your commitment to this relationship I'm talking about? The truth of the matter is, too many of us are not near committed enough. Maybe we're a little bit lazy, you know? It's pretty much easier to just sit back and hope everything turns out all right. But it takes a commitment to get up and do something about it. And again, I have heard from a lot of young people through the years, and they sense from their parents and usually from their father, there is a lack of commitment. There's a lack of stick-to-itiveness that this thing isn't going to work out. And it's almost like they feel like their parents have given up on them. You know, sometimes when your young people are really acting not right, I don't know if they're testing you to see if what your commitment is. I don't know. I don't understand all those things. But I've observed a lot of those things and I have a lot of questions. But I know that they need to know that you're not going to give up on them no matter what. That commitment is there. That there is an unconditional resolve that you will not quit. That you will not give up on them. Don't you hope God is like that with you? You know? I mean, come on. Let's think about this thing a little bit here. Commitment. Commitment. How do you relate to them? What is your attitude? Do you have that attitude? Do you live that attitude that you will not give up no matter what? I don't believe that Christianity is primarily based on performance. You know, yes, if our heart is full of the right things, we do live a certain way. But there is the basis of faith and trust in Jesus Christ that is the basis of my life in Christ. And yes, then my performance will follow. But, you know, if I look at my performance over the last 10 years alone, God should flush me down the toilet. I mean, my performance don't measure up if we're just going to look at performance. And so with your young people as well, we tend to, as parents, when they get to that age, we tend to be very critical and very easy to jump on every little thing they do wrong. And I would just say, can you just take a deep breath and relax a little bit and try to look at heart issues here? You know, that relationship is not just based on performance. You need to look at the heart and where are things going in their life? Is there a trend or a heartbeat in their life to go on with God and go on the relationship with you and the family? And I just think there needs to be a little bit more grace given. Because I believe a committed love that I'm talking about easily forgives. Because that's the way God is with me. God has to forgive me so many times, you know. And that makes me sad sometimes when I think of the things that I've done to fail God. But I'm so thankful that He has promised that He is faithful and just to forgive me. I'm so thankful. I don't want to presume upon that, but I can tell you I am so thankful for that. And I trust in that consistency and that commitment that God says what He says in His Word, and that He means it. But what about you and me in our relationship? You know, part of a commitment to a relationship is even when things don't go right, even when someone makes a mistake, I've already made the choice out of head of time to forgive them. Because again, forgiveness is a choice. You know, sometimes you may not feel like forgiving your young person if they do something really weird, you know, and you're like, oh, they did that again. But couldn't God say that about you? Okay? So the choice has to be made ahead of time. You know, that I'm committed to this thing. I'm committed to this relationship. I'm committed to love them. And I will forgive them. I choose out ahead to forgive them as we walk through this thing. I'm not going to keep score, so to speak, and rack up a list of everything they've done wrong. And every time they do it again, I'm going to get out the scorecard and say, yeah, once again, you've done it. You know, it's not right, brothers. It's not right. You couldn't take it if God did it to you, could you? You couldn't take it if every time you fell, God got out your rap sheet of everything you've done over the last 20 years. You couldn't bear it. Well, neither can they. Neither can they. So I just beg you to consider what it is to have a commitment to this kind of relationship, to decide ahead of time that you're going to resolve issues no matter what. And I'm not saying that's always easy. Sometimes these issues come up and it's difficult. But if you're resolved, if your commitment is already set, you will find a way and God will give you grace. All right, number 12. Again, this is on relationships with your youth. I've seen here, I've noticed over the years again, that they need seems like they almost desperately need a sense of your approval. A sense of your approval of their life. They need a sense of your approval. They need to know that you are pleased with them. They need to have a sense of acceptance by you for the person they are and they're becoming. And that doesn't mean you agree with everything going on in their life. And again, you're free to discuss those things and help them weed those things out of their life. But do you love them? Do you accept them? Is there a sense of approval from you on their life? Is there a sense of appreciation for who they are that you can verbally bless them, verbally speak blessing into their life? There's a lot of verses in the Bible about parental blessing, about speaking words into the life of your young people, your children, your youth, where words of blessing are issued, and then the effect and then the grace that comes into the life of that young person in the Bible. We could look up examples. We won't take the time to do that. It's in the Bible, in the Old and in the New Testament. I think there was a sermon on that. Brother Kenny, did you preach a sermon on that years ago? About 3 or 4 years ago, I think. There's a sermon in our tape. Listen to that sermon sometime by Brother Kenny. Excellent sermon, just on that one subject, I think, of speaking blessing. And that is so important. It's all part of this sense of approval, sense of appreciation, and what you speak and what you say into their life, and then the effect that it has on their spirit and their heart is very profound. It's very profound. Let me just read one verse here. Turn to Joshua 15. It's a little example of a parent giving a blessing at the request. And, you know, sometimes your children are going to request these things, and that's okay too. Joshua 15, 18 and 19. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, this is Caleb, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing." And you know, there's just something in that cry from the daughter to the father. Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. And I think there's a cry in the heart of every young person for their parent. Give me a blessing. Now again, maybe they wouldn't use those exact words as it's put here in the Bible, but there's something in their heart where, may I say, they need you to give them a blessing. You need to give them your appreciation, your sense of approval. I was several years ago reading in a couple of different surveys and in some different parenting magazines as I was doing some research for another message, and I came across this survey that I haven't forgot. And basically it said something like this. There was a survey given to youth all over America, not just Christian youth, although they were included too in some of the statistics, but it was tens and tens of thousands of young people. And they were asked, if you could ask your parents three questions, just three questions, and you know that you would get 100% pure, true answer, isn't it sad they had to qualify that, but that's the way it was worded to the young people, what would be the three questions that you would ask? Okay, do you understand the question? That was the survey given to these tens and thousands of young people. If you could ask your parents three questions and you knew the answers they were going to give would be 100% true, what would be the three questions? You're only allowed to ask three. What would be the three questions? What do you think the first question was? Do you love me? That's right, somebody said it. I mean, these are from 20-year-olds. You know, we'd think, really? The number one question is they wanted the truth. They wanted to know more than anything from their parents. Number one question in America, do you love me? Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's something. The second question is this one. Are you glad you had me as your fill-in-the-blank son or daughter? Are you glad you had me? See, there's that cry for that sense of approval. Give me a blessing. You hear that? This is the cry of the young people across America. And then the third question, this one shocked me too, I guess, was, are you glad that you married my mother or father? See, they wanted those relations. The most important things to them is, do you love me? Are you glad you had me? And do you love my mother or my father. You know? I mean, these are children from young people from all different kinds of homes. Three questions. When they boiled them all down, those were the three questions that came clearly ringing out of this survey. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I don't know what to do with all that survey, but that is a very telling result, isn't it, on what is the heart, what is in the heart of people, young people. And people. They're not just young people. They're people, right? There's just something in the heart that came crying out of that survey all across the country. So I guess I would have to ask you here this afternoon, men, and I would hope the Spirit of God would ask you, do your young people know that you love them? You know, I mean, do they know that? Not just because you think they know that, but I mean, are you sure? Do they know that you love them? Do they know that you're glad that you had them? Do they know that you love their mother? Wonder when's the last time they heard you say that. I don't know. I don't live in your home, but I think those are good questions for you to ask yourself this afternoon. Those are good questions. Number 13. Listening. Listening. Another aspect of relationships with young people I'd like to talk about is listening. You know, there's lots of classes on giving speeches. But, you know, I've never seen a class on listening. I think we need one, men. I'm serious. I think we need one. You know, most men, we are not good listeners. And I'm talking to myself here, too. I'm not just preaching at you. We're not very good listeners. And again, I don't know all the reasons for that. I mean, I can just share sometimes why I'm not a good listener. Sometimes I'm selfish with my time, selfish with my attention, thinking of my things, what I think is important. And when that happens, I'm not a very good listener. I'm not a very good listener. But we need to be. We need to be just the opposite of that. We need to be active, attentive, interested listeners. See, the problem with men is it seems like we're results-oriented. We want to get to the bottom line. See, the problem is listening is not an end to itself. The where we're trying to go to, the result of listening, the reason for listening is what? Understanding. It's not to get a certain answer. You know, you don't listen just to get the answer. You're listening to gain understanding. You're listening to hear somebody's heart. That's why you're listening. It's not a test that they pass or fail. That's for school. I'm talking about life. About relationships. And sometimes as men, we don't see that so clearly. We want to get to the, but where are you now? You know, we kind of want the, ooh. That's not the point. The point is, the reason for listening is to gain understanding and to hear somebody's heart, to hear your young person's heart. The goal is understanding, not the end of the story. I would just, you know, maybe be practical here in a way. I hope spiritual and that you can check your heart for selfishness. But also, you know, maybe if you can just remind yourself of a few things as you're learning to listen. Maybe we could have a little class on listening right here for a few minutes. You know, turn and face your young person. You know, if you're like me, sometimes when they come up to me, I'm like, I'm looking at something and I'm, yeah. You know, what am I saying? You know, or I do this. You ever do that when you're listening? Something wrong with that, isn't there? and again, I'm talking about me too, maybe you could, the next time you listen, maybe you can face them, have an open posture, make eye contact. Is this too simple? Make some eye contact. Show that you're involved in the conversation by words of agreement or nodding your head. I don't know. You need to, make yourself get involved in this thing. Listening is not an inactive activity. It has to engage your heart and your will. Because you're listening to gain understanding. And it's not just going to plop up on you. You've got to be part of the conversation. It's just as important what we hear as what we say. Men don't act that way sometimes. But it's just as important what we hear as what we say. They're not just waiting to hear what we have to say. Sometimes they just need us to listen. I've caught a lot of tears on this one from young people, but I'm just going to encourage you to check your heart here. To remember the goal of listening is understanding. And now, some of you may say, and I'm sure you're right, that, or you might be thinking, okay, Brother Rick, I'm willing to try, but my young person, they won't talk to me. They're not, I asked them just last week, share your heart. And they didn't. Well, that isn't always the best way to get somebody to share their heart. That might work sometimes. You might shock them and they might do it if you ask them that. I wonder when the last time you did ask them that. But anyway, there's something about sharing your own heart that kind of like opens a door for somebody else to share their heart. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some of you else have had that experience. There's something about being vulnerable, being open, being humble enough to say, well, actually, in my life, this is where I'm at, or this is what's happening to me. And when we do that, when we open ourselves up, when we share our own heart, it's almost like there's an unseen but understood signal, now it's your turn to share your heart. You know what I'm saying? It's just part of, the way conversations flow. So, maybe you need to, get off your horse and get down where you need to get to and be willing to share your heart first. And then see if that'll open a door to their heart. And even then, maybe sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe there's enough stuff built up there that it's going to be hard for them to share. So maybe I just give you a few other thoughts you might want to consider. As a parent, you have the joy, but also the responsibility to be trustworthy with what they share. The worst thing you can do is catch some of what they have to say and then spill it to somebody else. You need to be responsible for what you hear, even with your own young, just because they're your young person, your youth in your home, doesn't mean you have the right to just share with everyone or anybody else you choose what your young person has shared with you. You need to be trustworthy. People aren't going to share their heart unless they feel safe, are they? It's just kind of the way we are. It's the way we are. And your young people are no different. They're no different than you or I. You wouldn't want to do that with anybody, would you? You would want to know that what you're sharing is safe as well. Let them finish. Again, with men, I've noticed that when they're trying to listen and their young person is saying something and they say something wrong, and sometimes they do, they kind of want to interrupt and correct them right then. And I'm like, the goal of listening is understanding. Let them finish. Let them get it out. Okay? Then later, there may be some correction. There may be some things not right about what they said. But if you keep interrupting them, what they're going to do after a few minutes? Shut that thing down. They're going to shut down. Let them finish. You may need to learn skills, I'm not sure the right word, of listening that also involve learning how to ask the right questions. You need to learn how to ask the right questions to help draw them out. In talking to young people over the years, one of the things that sort of shocked me as I talked with some of them, that they said they actually appreciate it when someone takes the trouble to actually draw out of them where they're at, almost to the point of not bugging them, but I mean like take the trouble to really not just say, hi, how you doing, how's your spiritual life, but start, you know, plowing a little bit and drawing. A number of young people shared that with me over the years, that they actually, because they don't really know how to share, or they're not sure what to share maybe at first. But if somebody will take the time and commitment and trouble to just, you know, kind of draw, they actually afterwards go, oh, I'm so glad I got that out. I'm so glad I shared that, you know. But maybe they weren't going to share that if you just said, hey, you got anything to share? Doesn't always happen like that, does it? So you need to learn how to ask questions to draw their heart out a little bit. You know, you might need to even start it for them and say, you know, something that is really bothering me right now in my life is, and then ask them, what would that be in your life? You know, you can start a few thoughts and learn how to ask a drawing or a leading question. When I pray, it seems as if God usually, let them finish the blank, you can start asking questions to help them draw out what is going on in their hearts and give them an opportunity to kind of think through some questions that will open up their conversation and open up their heart to you. And again, commitment is the key. Most of all, don't give up. I do believe that the majority of young people really do want to share. They really do want a relationship with the parent in their life. And I say, press on. The results are worth it. But it seems like, again, it's easy to draw back. Maybe it doesn't go well the first time or the second time, and men tend to kind of go, well, they didn't really want to talk. I'll just leave them alone. I don't think that's the right attitude. You know, I think you need that relationship, and I think they need that relationship, and it's worth pressing on. You know, as you're number 15 here, I kind of move on a little bit. As you, you know, learn to draw them out and get their thoughts on different things, sometimes one of the ways to start a conversation or get things drawn out is to ask their opinion on things that really matter, things that are important. You know, you may as a family be wrestling with something. You may be wrestling with issues about how to do a certain thing in the family. Maybe it's about music or dress or, you know, church issues or I don't know what it may be, something that's going to affect that could possibly affect the whole family and you're just praying about this. Ask them their opinion. What do you think about this? What do you think God says about this? What do you think God would have us to do? You know, if this were your decision to make, how would you see that God would have us walk through this? And see what they have to say. See their opinion. And part of that exercising of themselves in a spiritual way, it's good for them and it's good for you to hear and to go back and forth. And if their opinions are right, tell them so. And if their advice is good, take it sometimes. You know, sometimes they're right. Sometimes they see things very clearly. And we need to be humble enough to admit that and go on. I've been blessed to be able to do that through the years with young people in my home. And I've often been surprised at some of their insights and the things that they see in a very clear way. And it's been a real blessing to start many conversations talking about those kind of things. And really helped our relationship as we learned how to work through something and end up by getting on the same side. Maybe we started from two different directions, but we ended up coming through this thing together. And that is so beautiful when that happens. Number 16, turn to 1 Chronicles 29. I think this will be the last one. We've only got a few minutes left here. 1 Chronicles 29. I think we'll just break in verse 19. Now here we have David. He's full of years. He's dying. He's going to die here in just a few verses. He's lived his life. And he's turning over the kingdom to his son. And as he does, one of the things he does for Solomon is he prays a prayer. And I would ask you parents, you fathers here tonight or this afternoon, I would just beg you that you pray for your young people. You know, sometimes it surprises me how many parents I talk to sometimes that don't pray for their young people. It's almost like, again, they reach age 18 and it's kind of like, well, they're a Christian. I'm telling you, they need your prayers. You know, look at what David says here in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 19. It says, he's praying to God, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. What a wonderful prayer for a father to pray. Amen? And Solomon's not a little child here. He's a young man getting ready to take over very important responsibility. And David prays, give my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And he's talking about the temple of God there. So, you know, my final point would be, these are the days of thy youth. Thy youth. How are you going to spend them? What's your relationship going to be like with them? Are you going to have your flame on? You know, are you going to be ignitable? Are you going to be real? Or are you a hypocrite and you need to face that thing and you need to deal with it today, this week, this afternoon in your prayer group maybe? Do you know how to listen to them? Are you committed to walking with them? Are you committed to loving them even when they make a mistake? And have you made the choice ahead of time for forgiveness? You know, these are things that are just part of relationships. There's nothing that I've shared this afternoon that you probably haven't heard before. There's nothing new. But it takes a man waking up as the priest of the home, as the father of the home, to walk in these things consistently. Remember, love is that consistent display of interest and attention and commitment to your young people. And it will pay beautiful dividends. I can guarantee it. It's a beautiful relationship. It's one of the most precious things that I have in my Christian life. And I highly recommend it. May God add His blessing to these words this afternoon. Thank you for listening. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.